It's awesome. That's a big deal. Graduating high school is a big deal. I would know because I almost didn't graduate. So some of my teachers here in the place, they would know that. If you're a guest with us this morning, my name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Really glad to be with you this morning as I share a message with you. Now, this is not just for the grads. I know how this thing goes. You know, you're there right now, and you're like, oh, this is for high school graduates. That was a long time ago, right? Listen, what I'm going to share with them is truth that they need now, but you need and I need now as well, okay? So it's not just the future. This is life stuff that I think that the Lord is putting on my heart, and I think he did something special with me this week. I was going to preach on something totally different that kind of went along with the worship because I picked out some songs with Scott, and then I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm changing my message. So, but God knows what he's up to. You know, there's a problem that the church has, and it's a huge problem. A huge problem. I'm getting yep, and you don't even know what it is yet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Huge problem. And it's not, listen, this problem is going to affect the future existence of the church if we let it. Okay? You know, like the small vineyard, you know, the vineyard, it's small foxes that spoil the vineyard. This is one of those things, and maybe you're very aware of it, maybe you're not, but this is one of the things that could really destroy the church. And it's not persecution, because what's funny is, under persecution, usually the church thrives. Isn't that amazing? And in fact, it's the opposite of that. The problem doesn't have to do with anything outside of the church. It actually has to do with what's inside of the church. The problem has to do with us, and the problem is selfishness. The title of my message this morning is called Selfie. Does everybody know what a selfie is? Okay, if you've been living under a rock, I'm going to show you what a selfie is. A selfie is when you get your camera out, okay? Get your phone. Mostly everybody has one of these, except Pastor Jeff. He just doesn't bring it with him. That's okay. And you take a picture of yourself, right? You take a picture of yourself. Now, we're going to do one together. Can we do that? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get you guys in on this. Okay, so you can make crazy faces and stand up. We'll try to get everybody in here. Let's do it.
One, two, three.
Maybe that'll work. I don't know, but I'll post it on Facebook. That's a selfie. Does everybody understand what a selfie is now? So you take a picture of yourself or all of us here today. Sorry, those on the wings, you didn't get in that picture, but you can take your own selfie later if you'd like. Now, graduates, you guys got to know this, and you probably already do. Your generation is called the millennials. Have you heard that term before? Okay, we have all these different generations, baby boomers, Gen X, but for you specifically, they have called you the millennials. But the other nickname that they have given you is the selfie generation. Now, they're saying two things to you, okay? It's not like you picked that name out, right? It was an older generation that said, we're calling you a selfie generation. Here's why. Two reasons. Number one, you guys are really good with technology. You've grown up with technology. You haven't had to learn new technology, and you just grow up to do it, right? You just know how to do it. It's not like you're confused when something happens on your computer. You usually figure it out real quick, right? I mean, I'm in the middle of Gen X and millennials. They call me a zennial, okay? So I'm in between those two, so I kind of understand, but I didn't totally grow up with technology my whole life. It was later in my early years. The other thing that they're saying is that you're self-absorbed and selfish. But let me set the record straight this morning. Every generation is selfish. Sorry. If you're here this morning and you've been calling, the millennials are so selfish, but guess what? You probably are too, and I am. It doesn't matter if you're in a specific generation. It's one thing that we've picked out, but I read an article from 1970 that said the baby boomers are the most selfish generation, right? So how do we fight this? How do we fight the selfie mindset? How do we fight the selfish thing? Now, before we get into that, I feel like we need to know what the Bible says, right? That's a good place to start. In Philippians 2, you can turn there if you'd like, highlight it. We're going to be here in Philippians for a little bit. Turn in your Bibles here if you'd like. Philippians, He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your interests, but take an interest in the others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. That's good, right? That can preach right there. So here we are. I want to look at this word selfish, and in the Greek, it's this word, I think it's pronounced erythian. It sounds right to me. Maybe it's not, but it doesn't matter. Here's what it means, because we don't speak Greek. It's the seeking of followers, and this is how they do it, by means of gifts or seeking followers. But here's the deal. These three words are on the bottom: ambition, rivalry, and this big one, self-seeking. Not a lot has changed in our culture, has it? Not a lot. Since the days that this was written to the days we're in now, it sounds pretty familiar. Again, proving my point that all generations have selfishness. Now, self-love in our culture has been touted as almost like a way to personal nirvana, right? If you just love yourself, you know. But here's the problem. It's actually led to dissatisfaction and self-hatred. You more hate yourself when you focus on yourself, believe it or not. And not only that, because of our extreme focus on ourselves, we're not having any kind of real interaction with other people. We're not available because we're so self-centered on ourselves. You guys with me? Does this make sense? I'm sorry, it's a little heavy, but we'll get there. Now listen, the classic illustration that they say, you ever hear this? They say, you go on an airplane, and they say, make sure you put on your mask first and then help your neighbor. That's the illustration they give you. But this is the problem. It's a lie. Because if you love yourself before you love your neighbor, you're actually getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong. It's a lie. Loving yourself just leads to death of the worst kind. Loving yourself it's not true. Because look at the lives around us. Look at our society and our culture who loves themselves. It's not good. Every day, our society is saying, me first, me first, me first. What about me? So how do we fight this? How do we fight this selfie mindset? The first thing that we got to do in this is admit you're selfish. Will you just look at your neighbor and say, I'm selfish? Some of you are like, not doing it. The truth is, listen. The truth is, there's like counseling sessions going to happen all week this week. The truth is, listen, is that we don't really like to admit we're selfish, right? We just said it tongue-in-cheek, kind of being funny. We don't want to admit it. It's not like when we die, we want Pastor Jeff to do our funeral and be like, you know, Timmy was a great guy. He was so self-centered and selfish, and all he cared about was himself. We don't want that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear that we were unselfish, right? Nobody wants to admit that they're selfish. But no matter what age and what generation you're in, we all have to battle a selfie mentality. Now, the problem with not admitting that you have a problem is the fact that you still have a problem. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody says, my car's fine, but the car's falling apart, it's like, no, your car is not fine. Your car is literally not making it down the road. But we all like to do that, right? We don't want to fix the problems. We just ignore the problem. Am I the only one that does that in my house and things like that? Honey, there's nothing wrong with the basement smelling like sewer. It's fine. No, just because you said it's fine doesn't mean it's fine. And my daughter does the same thing. She's not here. She's 2 years old. And Audrey, when she's in trouble, she closes her eyes like this. I'm like, you can't hit your sister. And she's like, I'm like, wait, just because you close your eyes, I can still see you, okay? But the truth is, we're very good at telling God and others what we need, but we're very bad at telling others and God what we need to work on, right? That's it right here. In Romans 12:2, this is very key, so you can stay in Philippians, but come over here to Romans 12:2. You probably know this. I had to memorize it at Elam Bible Institute in college. Here it is. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's very key right there. God changed the way you think. Then you will learn what to know what's God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So in order for God to transform us, in order for God to change the way we think, we're going to have to admit that we don't think properly. We got to admit that we don't got it all together, right? We can't just be blaming all these other generations and then avoiding our own selfishness. And if you listen, and I'm just letting you guys know, those graduates, if you can catch this now, you're ahead of the game. You are so ahead of the game because me personally, I'm still learning it, right? You want to learn this now. We have to deal with the problem. We need to personally admit that there's a problem. So here we go. Personal. We got to make it personal, right? We got to admit that we have the problem. Number two, here's the next one. Think of others first. Think of others first. Now, some of you are like, oh, Josh, I came here for this. I could have found this anywhere. But again, in that Philippians 2 verse that we just read, it says, be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out for your interests, but take an interest in others too. Have you ever been to the grocery store and you're sitting there at the grocery store and you have a lot of stuff in your cart and you, out of the corner of your eye, you're going up to cash out, right? And you're always looking for the shortest line, right? You're looking, seeing that one's shorter, that one's shorter. Finally, you find the right one. There's somebody in front of you, so you can't get your stuff out yet, right? But then out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody that's only got one thing. Now you're faced with a dilemma, right? Now you're faced with, do I let that person in front of me? But you only saw him out of the corner of your eye, so out of selfishness, you don't make eye contact, because that's rule number one if you want to be selfish in the grocery store. Do not make eye contact. So now you see that person over there, you didn't make the eye contact, and now you're like, oh, I can put my stuff up. So you get all your stuff up. Now here's the key, right? Because I've done this before. Here's the key. Once you get up to the register, right, and she scans the first item, that's when you turn around and you go, oh, you only had one thing? I would have let you in front of me. It's too late now. Come on. Y'all are lying if you haven't done that before. Come on now. Your selfishness gets away. Now, here's the funny thing. Yesterday, Jess and I went shopping, and I saw a lady. I was faced with this because I knew I was going to tell you this today. I saw a lady with one thing. We're at Aldi. Y'all know what Aldi is? You got to pay a quarter to get your shopping cart because they want you to put it back, right? So you put it in a quarter, you get a quarter back, right? So I see this lady, and she's there. She's got like a, you know, those big beach bag purses, but she's only got two things in her hand. And I said to Jess, I'm like, I'm going to let this lady in front of me. Go ahead, ma'am. You only got a couple things. It's fine. And she's like, are you sure? And Jess is like, yeah, you'll be done before we can even unload. Do you know that this lady in her beach bag had all of the groceries in there? Because she didn't have a quarter, so she had it all in this beach bag. And I see her put the two things. I'm like, yeah. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like a clown car, right? You're watching. How much more could be in there? I was so mad. I'm like, that lady totally fooled me, man. She totally got me. I'm like, just look at this lady. You know, you're turning. Oh, my gosh. I was so mad. So God knew what to do, right? He was working on my selfishness. But it's funny because all of our, do you notice now they got these self-checkout lanes, right? Some of you hate that. I love it, right? Because it's quick. I don't have to talk to anybody, and I could just get it out, right? The other day, I went to, like, a Tops in a different area. They don't have it. They don't have that. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm so spoiled. I'm sitting there like, they really need one of those self-checkouts, right? And here I am trying to take a job away from somebody. But still, I'm like, man, why don't they have self-checkout? Because here's what our society is doing. Our society is giving us everything in convenience, right? They're making things easier for us. Oh, you have self-checkout lines, and you can order on Amazon. Prime Day was the other day. Anybody get Prime? Amazon Prime? Amazon Prime's great because you get it, right? You order it, you can get it the next day. You don't have to leave your house. You know, and there's other places. Listen, if you do delivery, there's tons of stuff you could do to never leave your house. You're totally inconvenienced. You're not inconvenienced anymore. Now, here's the problem. What is happening is everything is doing this thing so that we're not inconvenienced, and our society is actually catering to our selfishness. They're like, these people don't like looking at, you know, think about others first, so what we're going to do is we're going to cater to them so that they're fine. Man, I'm sweating. It's hot up here, or I'm just preaching hard. I don't know. Preaching hard. Now, listen, I remember the day, and this is going to be strange for you, Dawson and Julia and Brandy, but there was a day where our household only had one computer. I'm serious. And we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have a way to hop onto the World Wide Web, okay? Couldn't get onto the interwebs. We had one computer, and that one computer, believe it or not, was dial-up connection, which sounded a lot like this. And you're like, oh, here's the problem now. So you got one computer, you got 4, 5, 6 people in your house. They can only use that one computer to hop online, and they have to wait for that, and it ties up your phone. Because we didn't have cell phones, we had a home phone, and the home phone's plugged into the same line that you get internet from. Some of you are like, we still have dial-up. Talk to Josh and Jenny back there, they'll hook you up, okay? But seriously, so now, the thing with that is now I have to think about my brother. My brother wants to get online, and now not only that, I gotta wait for mom and dad, right? And you get charged by the minute for what you're on, unless it was after 9, there was a special deal, some of you remember that, after 9 it was free, so now it's 9 o'clock, and it's like you can have half hour, and the pages load like this. You know, is it gonna load? A web page that we get milliseconds, took forever to load, you're like, what's on this page? Is this Google? I can't tell, right? It just took forever. And now it's time is, listen, I'm not against convenience. I'm not against having a cell phone. Obviously, I have one. But we are so conditioned now to think about others that we're not thinking, or so conditioned now to think about ourselves that we're not thinking about others, right? It's hard now because we have all these conveniences. We have all these things, and it's difficult and challenging. Because we're ignoring other people, because we can. We're not used to thinking of other people. Now, what's this look like in Bible times? You could tell it was an issue even for them, right? They had their own interests. They had their own problems. But what's this look like in our church? Not our church here today, but our church as a whole in the United States of America. I think it sounds a little bit like this. I don't like that sermon. I don't like that guy. That message wasn't for me. I'm not getting fed here, right? I don't like the music. It's too loud. The church is too big. Ugh, I don't like the coffee that they serve. It's all about me, right? We're not thinking about other people. We're thinking about us. So he's challenging us here, and he's challenging the Church of Philippi, is to think about others first and to think about their interests, not your own. Are we all on the same page? So here's my question for you on this, is are we me first people or are we others first people? Is it my way or the highway, or is it God's way and no other way? We need to allow the Lord to transform our minds, to change the way we think, so we can think of others first. You with me? We're all on the same page. If you're with me, say yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number 3, here we are, reject entitlement. Now, while being selfish with our own preferences is one thing, having an attitude of entitlement is a whole new level. Whole different level. This is the type of attitude that says, I deserve it. Right? I deserve it. What? And you could have deserved it, and maybe you didn't deserve it, but you still feel like you deserve it. You guys with me? Now, advertisers love, they love this. This is like, they love to feed on the fact that you deserve something. You with me? So check this out. Here's McDonald's. McDonald's, you guys remember this? You deserve a break today. And here's a lady with her kids. You know, she had a rough day. She's challenged. And she's like, I do deserve a break today. I'm going to get down McDonald's, right? So they're showing her, they're feeding something inside of her and us. We're looking at, you know what, I need a break today. In fact, when I put this on there the other day, I'm thinking, I do deserve a break today. But then we went Subway, so we were cool. Here's another one. Here's a Buick. Is that Riata? Is that how you say it? Here's a Buick, and it's like the little sports car. You see how it's only two-seater? What's that say? Go ahead. You deserve it. You're sitting, I do deserve that. I work hard. I need to get one of them cars, right? They're just feeding that into you. Here's one. I love this lady. Here's Linda. Linda, join the bank that gives you the extra cash back. Linda, you deserve it. And you're like, if your name's Linda, you're like, dang straight I do. I deserve that. I'm going to go to Halifax Bank, right? They're just feeding this deserve it, deserving mentality. Here's one for you guys younger. You'll know this, who LeBron James, okay? The king who lost. But the king, anyway. And he's got his Beats headphones. Those are the Beats headphones. And says, you deserve the best. They're very expensive, by the way. You deserve the best. You don't deserve the cheap stuff. You deserve the best because you worked hard. You just graduated, y'all. You deserve the best. Some of you are like, Mom, I deserve that. And here, I like this one. This is Beef Eater Gin, right? Beef Eater Gin. What did you do to deserve Beef Eater? All the best times, or the best of times, to serve the best of taste, right? So you deserve a drink today. How many of you have gone home and said, I deserve a drink today, right? Because they're just feeding this into us. They're feeding this into us. And most of the time, can I say, we don't deserve it. Some of you are like, you know, I deserve a break today. I got out of bed. I'm going to get myself a McDonald's and some gin, right? Get my Big Mac on and pour a little beef eater in it and drive my car, right? Got out of bed. Most of the time, we're just doing stuff you're supposed to do, like go to work. Take care of your kids. And then you complain to your spouse. I've had a rough day. That wasn't my wife. That was me. I've had a rough day. Because after a long day, I'm really tired, right? And I deserve a break. I deserve to sit on. No, I don't deserve anything. See, we're in a world where everybody gets a medal. Everybody gets an attaboy, even when you don't deserve it. And it's very easy for us to pick up this idea of entitlement. Actually, they've done studies to kids who thought that they deserved, like, they didn't deserve to get a medal for getting 18th place, right? They were the 18th place. They got a medal. Oh, way to go. You know what? Actually, that actually destroys them on the inside because they know they didn't deserve it, right? It's actually ruined that. And there's parents who force their kids. I just read this online. There's parents who force their kids into high learning classes, right? Because my kid is special. We all think that. I do too. But when we force them in, they don't deserve it. The kid's in there and it's like, I didn't deserve to get in here, but my mom argued for me, right? We got to be really careful because they don't deserve it. But even when they do deserve it, it can really get messed up. See, entitlement doesn't come when you don't deserve it. It just comes when you have an attitude that says, I deserve this. It's not whether you do or you don't. It's the attitude that you think you do. You with me? Now, here's what it looks like. Imagine somebody went to Pastor Scott. This kid, let's say he's in his 20s, says, Pastor Scott, I'd like to play drums for you. Pastor Scott would say, well, that's cool. So he sets up this time for this kid to have an audition, right? This is a normal thing. So they have like a little audition jam session. We might be like, hey, let's play together. And then they get together and the kid is terrible, right? He's awful. He's no good. He's the worst drummer. And Scott would say something like, come back in a couple months maybe and we'll try it again, right? But then the kid responds and says, Pastor Scott, my mom says I'm the best drummer. You're not. You're not the best drummer, I'm sorry. But my mom says I am, and if my mom says I am, then I am. I deserve to be on the worship team. Whoa, that's the entitlement, right? Now, let's pretend there's a 60-year-old guy that comes and says, Pastor Scott, I've been playing the drums for 40 years. Actually, for 50, for 60, since I was in diapers. I put in all the hard work. I played with Carmen. I played with DC Talk. I played with the Newsboys before they were the Newsboys. You know, he's got all these things, right? I want to be on the team. And we maybe we'll schedule a little time. We'll jam together. But he can't get along with Scott, or he's doing everything the opposite of Scott wants to do. And Scott's like, I don't think this is going to work out, right? Or maybe, I don't know if it's fitting. If we have a place for you, we'll let you know, okay? Now, the guy says, listen, I deserve that. I put in a lot of hard work. I've been playing for 40, 50, 60 years. I did everything I had to do, right? I deserve this. Now, does he deserve it? Technically, yes. But his attitude is an attitude of entitlement. Now, this is what's happening in the church today. We do have people coming up that think they deserve it, and they don't. But we also have people who put a lot of hard work into it, and we're saying, I deserve to have it my way. I deserve to have it my way. We don't. The truth is that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Now, Jesus, this is funny, later on in Philippians here, it says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Rather, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Now, can we all just say right now that Jesus did not deserve that? The truth is that we don't want what we deserve. We want what we think we deserve, and you don't. God took the humble position of a slave to us. Through all the entitlement, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to hold on to. I'm telling you, that preach is hard because it hits us right in the ouchy spot of our heart, right? Because we're like, wow, what have I said that I deserved? I deserve this car. I deserve this break. I deserve to have good grades, even though you didn't get them. I deserve to have a quiet night by myself. I deserve. We don't deserve, and we don't want what we think we don't want what we really deserve. Which leads me to my next thing. Jesus didn't have an attitude of entitlement, but which leads me to my next thing. How do we fight this selfie mindset? We serve. We serve. We read earlier there in Philippians 2 that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, I'm like, what kind of attitude did Jesus have? Let's look. Well, we just read it, right? We just read it. For even the Son Man didn't, we just read it a little bit earlier. I put it on there. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born a human being. He took the position of a slave. What kind of attitude did Jesus have? That he was going to serve. And then he says this. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life for the ransom of many. Listen, when we take this in here, when Jesus came here to serve and we're called to have the same attitude that Christ had, then we should be serving too. I'll just go. I'm sweaty. I could just leave right now. Listen, when you sacrificially serve, it kills that selfie mentality. It kills that thing inside you. It says, get down there, and it hurts, and it does feel good. And then when I say serve, I mean you don't get paid for it. You don't get paid for it. Listen, I was at, this is like 3 or 4 years ago. I was at Camp Judah. I asked you, hey, will you serve at Camp Judah this year? Will you serve at Camp Judah? Some of you know I liken it to like a short-term missions trip in Varysburg, New York, with a bunch of sweaty teenagers who never shower. So I'm trying to convince people to come and do that, to serve, right, to work. And I got, we had a great camp. Camp was over. And one of the girls, the ladies who served there, one of these awesome women of God, one of the women that served there, she, at the end of camp, comes up to me and says, Pastor Josh, I said, yeah. Hey, I was just wondering, when am I going to get paid? I said, what? I mean, my jaw is on the floor. I got drool coming out of my mouth. What? She goes, when am I gonna get paid? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, am I gonna get a check? Or am I gonna get do you guys do PayPal? Or, you know, I'm looking at her, I'm like, you know what's funny? It's like when I said serve to her, something didn't register. She thought work. I'm gonna work for them. I'm gonna get paid. We didn't even talk about anything. She just thought, well, whatever I get paid, I get paid. I said, sweetie, I'm sorry. This is all for free. You just volunteered a week of your life. She was like, are you kidding? I'm never coming back. Oh, okay, I don't want you anyway, so go on, you know? But listen, that's a mentality some people have. I'm not doing it unless I get paid to do it. That's not serving. Listen, you can serve your boss in other ways than you're supposed to, right? You're already called to be working, do your work, but you can also serve your boss in other ways. I serve my boss by giving him really cool conversations during the week. Because when you serve, in the biblical sense here, you're not getting any benefit from serving. When you serve, you're not getting any benefit. You're not getting something out of it. Because everybody wants something out of it, right? In our flesh wants something out of it. And sometimes we don't, right? But we want an attaboy, or we're hoping in some way this will help me in my life. You know, if I serve at the church cleanup, okay? If I serve at the church cleanup, maybe this will, you know, other people will think of me better, right? Or maybe this will get me in with the pastor so I can get some money out of them, right? Or maybe this, you know, we have all these things birthed into us. It's like there's selfish motives in the backhand of serving. We have to cut that out. And we have to serve God faithfully with our lives, right? You graduates, serve God faithfully. Serve your RAs when you go to college, right? Serve your parents. Serve in the best way that you know how. And even when you don't want to, that's usually the best time to serve. When you don't want to serve because it's not convenience, right? It doesn't feel right. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. Serve anyway, because that's the best time to serve, because God's working on your life. Now, I want to say this, and okay, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. You guys know who this guy is? Dawson, who's that guy? Good job, Dawson. Way to go. He knows who it is. Uncle Sam. Now, this came out during World War I and World War II, okay? This came out, and this is the mentality, right? The government's saying, we want you. But can I tell you that the mentality of the American citizens during this time was a mentality that said, what can I do for my country? What can I do to serve my country? That was the attitude that they had. It's a good attitude. Fast forward to today, it's what can my country do for me? There's no serving anymore. It's what is in it for me. People leave churches constantly because they're like, what's in it for me? People they go church hopping and church hopping and church hopping and church hopping, and they never find a spot. They never find a place because it's all about them. I don't want that mentality. Do you want that mentality? People go from marriages to marriages, from jobs to jobs, from this, that, and the other. They don't listen to what God's calling them to do. They're just looking in for their own interests. They're looking to serve themselves. Might be the devil, you know, might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Come on now, you guys know that song. Going to have to serve somebody. And in the famous words, I believe John F. Kennedy, right? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Can I say, ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for God. Ask not what the church can do for you, but ask what you can do for the church. Oh, man. This selfishness has creeped into the church, and it's going to destroy us if we let it. And the best way to do it is to serve. The best way. Now, listen. God told us, Jesus told us, he said what? It's our slogan of our church, right? Loving God and loving people. You've heard that, right? God says the greatest thing right there. Love God, love people. The problem is that you're not included into that slogan. It doesn't say loving yourself, loving God, and loving people. It says loving God and loving people, meaning not yourself, but others. And our society has lost this. Our society feels like we need to be included in that scenario. Listen, you love God, you love other people. God will take care of you if you don't have a selfish mentality. Okay, but listen, I got to say, we're really blessed here at church, at this church, this area right here. And tomorrow we're doing VBS, and there's so many of you who are sacrificially serving, not because you want something out of it, because you're not getting anything, sorry to tell you, not because you want something out of it, you're just serving because you know that the church benefits from you serving. God benefits from that, and the word gets preached and the church grows. God's kingdom grows when we serve. We have deacons, we have trustees, we have elders, teachers, kid church volunteers, nursery and toddler volunteers, youth volunteers, care group leaders, door and parking lot greeters, bulletin greeters, welcome desk attendants, connectors, we need more of those, by the way, prayer ministry volunteers, I need people to pray after service, by the way, too, missions team, we have nursing home ministry volunteers, ushers, library volunteers, we have worship team and tech team. We have ministry leaders for men, women, and married couples. Is there anything I forgot? Worship dance. Anything else? Theater. We got theater. Anything else? Bow hunters. Okay. Anything else? Well, the sign in the front. Oh, my gosh. We need people to do that, too, by the way. Thank you. So listen. Look at all these awesome areas that people are serving. And that's why the church is healthy. Because we're not thinking of ourselves. We're thinking about God's kingdom. That's good. Give yourselves a round of applause. No, I'm serious. Give yourselves a round of applause. That's for real. Listen, a lot of churches don't have that because there's selfish people all over the place and they don't want to do anything. Right? Now, listen, I'm not saying, I'm applauding you and it's amazing. We're so blessed. You have no idea. But I'm also challenging you to keep that going. And I'm not singling you out, y'all, the millennials, but what can you do to help? What can you do to sacrificially do something you don't really want to do? And if you're not involved, what can you do? I just listed all these amazing things, and there was others thrown to me, because that's how much there is, right? There's a place for you to serve here. We need you. We do. Graduates, fight this selfie mentality with a servant's heart. When you go to school, learn to serve. Look to serve. Not just wait to serve. Look to serve. When you get plugged into a local church, look to serve. When you get married, look to serve. When you get a job, look to serve. We have to look to serve. And the final thing, this is it. Listen, this is really what it comes down to. I'll do this in closing, is fight daily. Daily. It's one thing to say, okay, God, I'm going to start doing that. It's another thing to say every morning, God, what can I do to serve you and your kingdom? That's how you fight daily. That's how you do this thing daily. So you say, God, I need help. I need to surrender to what you're doing in my life. And it's not self-gratification. It's the opposite. You're looking to serve for his kingdom. If we don't surrender daily, if we don't fight daily, we'll quickly lose sight of what the Lord's calling us to do. And we'll slip back into what our society is telling us to be selfish, to think about ourselves, to have an entitlement, to serve ourselves, and to ignore God, really, in the long run. I just wonder, can we stand this morning? I want to pray. Lord, we're thankful, first of all, for you giving us what we don't deserve. Lord, you've given us forgiveness. You have made a way for us to be right with God, and we don't deserve it. We are selfish people, Lord. We admit it. But, Lord, we're asking right now, if you're here and you're just like, you just want to make a statement today, this is your first day, I'm just going to ask for you to hold your hands out to the Lord and say, Lord, use me. Lord, break that entitlement thing that I have, break that self-satisfaction, that self-fulfilling, trying to get all the followers, trying to do all this, that, and the other. Break that in my heart, Lord.
Lord, would you break that in our heart? Give us opportunities, Lord, to serve. Will you press on us? Will your Holy Spirit, Lord, show us more ways that we can serve not only the church, but our neighbors, Lord, our spouses, our families, our jobs. Lord, we're praying that you would give us that afresh today. Lord, allow us to wake up every day. Challenge us, Lord, to wake up every day and say, God, how can I serve you today? Lord, I'm reminded of a guy that told me, he said there was weekends that happened where people would come to the church saying, what can I do? Well, it's not church cleanup, I know, but what can I do to serve? Lord, let us be a people group that does that, where our boss says, what's wrong with these people? Why are they so serving? Why are they not selfish? Why are they coming in early and staying late? Why are they doing this? Lord, would you please? Lord, we want to be that people. In Jesus' name. Once again, Lord, we're thankful. We are thankful for these graduates and the hard work that they put through. But we just send them out, Lord, into your hands. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would put your hands all over them, Lord, that they would be men and women of God that will move your kingdom, because that's all it's about, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about Dawson. It's not about Brandy. It's not about Julia. Lord, it's about you, God. It's not about us. Lord, give them that heart that they're going to serve you with everything they got. And we're excited, Lord, for the things you're going to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.